Being in the center of the marijuana world has advantages and disadvantages. Ask just about anyone who lives in Humboldt County. Its fame as a place where cannabis grows very well had spread far and wide long before California voters legalized pot for personal recreational use. County staff and supervisors are in the process of putting final touches on a new ordinance to regulate marijuana-based businesses in Humboldt County after months of public meetings and staff work. The proposed ordinance covers everything from marijuana cultivation to new concepts for cannabis-based businesses, the catchiest one being the bud and breakfast. Our first guest today covers the cannabis business extensively. Will Houston is a reporter for the Times Standard and the Californian, and he's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, Will.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good to have you. The ordinance covers just the unincorporated areas of the county, not the cities. Is that right?
That's correct.
So is there a bit of a patchwork of rules from city to city within Humboldt County?
Yeah. Each city has their own regulations here. Many of them have banned the cannabis industry outright. And a few of them, such as Arcata, Eureka, and Rio Del, have allowed it to a certain extent. Arcata and Eureka more so. But the county is by far, I would say, the most significant portion of the cannabis industry.
Well, it makes sense because if we're talking about areas outside cities, this is where most of the cultivation would occur, won't it?
Yeah, that's correct. So
it can be very hard, Will, to pull apart state and local action and try to figure out whose laws are which, and for that matter, from counties to cities, too. Humboldt County had an ordinance, as I understand it, but stopped accepting applications for cannabis business permits more than a year ago. What happened?
Yeah, that's correct. It's the county actually was the first county in the state to pass local regulations under the state's new medical marijuana industry rules that were passed near the end of 2015. And they opened up the application period in February 2016 here and closed it in December. And the reason they did that is they realized they needed a environmental impact report, essentially an environmental review to look at further expansions of the industry. And there was another lawsuit that followed that you can go into minor detail there, essentially, but essentially the industry was closed off at the end of December 2016, and about 2,300 applications were submitted.
And how many of those were processed, though?
That's been the catch on all this. County staff has been working hard. We have a planning and building department here, and they mostly regulate land use. And they've had new staff brought on. We have outside consulting firms now working with the county to help process applications. But just earlier this month, our planning and building director was saying that's been the problem. We can't process them more quickly enough. They have to do all sorts of different types of reviews, all these different checks on water use, go through different state agencies to double check on all this before a permit can be approved and that person can get their state license to actually become a legal business.
Wow. So how many staff have they had to bring on at the Planning and Building Department in Humboldt County?
I don't know the exact number here. I know they brought on 6 consulting firms, I believe, and they just expanded their contract again. And then also, I believe they hired, they created a whole new cannabis services division within the department just to handle these applications. So it's they're definitely taking it seriously, but with a county our size, sometimes it can be difficult to hire as many people as we'd like. So
Right, because you don't have a lot of population, a lot of tax income and all that stuff. To go really broad, when we're talking about cannabis businesses, I mean, does this ordinance essentially address the whole realm of people doing anything with cannabis from growing to selling?
Yes, it represents the first major expansion of the local cannabis industry since the initial rules were passed. And it essentially opened the door to new cultivation as well as allowing existing growers who are limited to what they grew before, allow them to expand as well. They were able to grow more, but they would have to relocate somewhere else, and that was the kind of the catch. But this time they're allowed to expand a bit more. And then there's also new business types. There's everything from all-in-one microbusinesses where people can cultivate and process, manufacture, and distribute all in one location. Then there's also these new tourism businesses, which is what many in the cannabis industry said would be essential for the Humboldt County name to really reach far and wide and have economic prosperity here. There's also farm retail sales where people can just sell right on their farm. Temporary cannabis events. So if you want to have cannabis at a certain event where people can use it there, that's being allowed now. Also research gardens. So it's a whole plethora of different types.
I imagine there are a couple things that still couldn't happen. I mean, you couldn't have something akin to a tasting room for cannabis, could you?
Let's see. Well, they do allow on-site consumption within the ordinance, but it's only limited to, I believe, certain retail sites, and then also for micro businesses at this point. But some people have been calling for a larger expansion of that into different types at farms, maybe or farm stays. So.
We're talking about Humboldt County's looming marijuana or cannabis ordinance, which has yet to be passed by the county supervisors. Another meeting coming up in early April. Will Houston is a reporter for the Times Standard and the Californian. You might have some questions you want to get in here, too. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And John Ford is the county planning director, and I notice he refers to the ordinance being considered as Ordinance 2.0. Is it a lot more detailed than what it proposes to succeed, Will?
Yes, it's a much larger ordinance in terms of the scope of the industry. It allows for larger cultivation plots, new types of businesses, as I said before. But also at the same time, it details more regulations of what the farmers have to do. So everything from generator use, renewable energy standards. Water, they have to have water plans, have gauges, and different regulations on how to address the environmental concerns. And that's been a major point in this ordinance, is addressing the environmental concerns. They had to do a full environmental review. And at the end of that, they actually decided to implement a cap, which is one of the major changes to this. They're thinking anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 permits, and they spread them out across the different watersheds in our region. And they've laid out a plan so far. And then essentially at the end of 2019 or so, they'd go back and review that cap and decide whether or not they can allow for more farms or not. So that cap refers just to cultivation. So,
all right, but the idea being that you're not going to have a whole bunch of businesses in one watershed sucking up all the water.
Exactly.
All right.
But there's been some concern about that, though, about the number and even allowing new farms at this point. A lot of environmental groups, tribes, and the Department of Fish and Wildlife are concerned that there hasn't been enough studies done on the watersheds to allow for new growths. They're saying the impacts are already there, and allowing any type of new grow without addressing the illegal grows out there first would be a mistake.
Well, and this comes to a really central question when developing any kind of regulation with cannabis in any place, really, is it even possible to tell if most of the existing cannabis in the county is out of the shadows, or if there's a sense there is still a big black market paralleling legal one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just based on the numbers here, we have 2,300 permits that came in. Many of those aren't actually active anymore, and there's an estimated up to 15,000 cannabis farms in the region. So the assumption is that most people right now are still remaining in the black market. The hope with this ordinance is to bring more of those people in and essentially address the environmental concerns that have been brought in there. But, yeah, there's still a sizable black market out there. So,
all right, so is the ordinance in part an attempt to rein in the amount of activity or just to regulate what's out there?
I would say both, actually, just to try and bring as many people from the black market, open that door again, get them in there. Some people have been apprehensive about coming in, concerns about federal enforcement, concerns about whether or not they actually have the capability of being able to do it. It's being able to open that door, but also at the same time bringing in tax revenue from taxing farms and eventually enforcing against the black market grows with that new revenue. And I know the state is trying to do the same thing with their own tax model.
So will the idea of capping the number of cultivation permits, would this be simply a numerical figure or by acreage or some combination?
It's both. Yeah, they separate it out by different watersheds. They have a proposed plan. Right now, the main one's about 5,000 permits and about 1,200 acres of new cultivation spread across 12 watersheds. And the county said it based this off of water use that's already been out there in these different watersheds, the number of permits. And they actually said that the assumptions in their environmental review was that this cap would actually have fewer grows than what their environmental review assumed would be out there or assumed would be permitted. So they said this would not have a significant impact in allowing these new grows. But environmental groups disagree. They're saying that there's already too much out there. Creeks are running dry. Fish have no place to spawn, and that just needs to be reined in for a while until more studies are done.
Will Houston's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the development of a new marijuana business ordinance in Humboldt County, going before the supervisors again in about 2 weeks. Will Houston's a reporter for the Times Standard and the Californian. How was the new ordinance developed? What kind of public input was there?
There were several meetings held within late 2017 and then earlier this year. It started off with workshops held by the Planning Commission. Those would go on for several hours. There was, I believe, about 13 or 14 meetings held by the Planning Commission over that period. So there's a lot of time for the public to weigh in, and there's still some more time coming up, too. There was a special meeting held earlier this month by the Board of Supervisors that went about 6 hours. And they mostly listened the whole time. There wasn't much talking by the board members. And now they're going to be taking it up again on April 10th when they expect to pass it finally.
I can see how someone's eyes could cross reading all this. You got prime soils and slopes and energy use and propagation centers. I mean, for people who are in or trying to get into the cannabis business, what appear to be their prime concerns?
Well, it's a matter of, well, I'd say capital was probably one of them. And trying to find land. Right now, the county's current rules, you can only have a new grow on lands that have prime agricultural soils, which had the unintended consequence of causing land prices to spike significantly within the region. So that's been a problem. There have been outside firms coming in and outside companies actually looking into the county and trying to buy a property, essentially, to see what they can do. So, it's just a matter of being able to understand the regulations both at the state end and the local end, and many have hired consulting firms to help them along the way, and especially for the growers who are out there before, I mean, this is a whole new regime of regulations here, something they didn't have to deal with before under, even if they were medical marijuana growers at the time. This is brand new industry rules, and many are wondering if they can even cope with it.
Let's talk about the prime soils part. You say that is not going to be a feature of Ordinance 2.0?
Yeah, so they've expanded the different agricultural sites, and they also allow for expansion into former industrial sites as well for cultivation. Essentially, they're just trying to get rid of the prime agricultural soil requirement. Many growers don't actually use the soils in the ground. Sometimes it's imported soils. They use it in pots. So it was just the reason they put that prime agricultural soil restriction on there was for their environmental review in the former ordinance. They had to say that this ordinance will have no significant impact on the environment, and they had to hold by that. And so that's why they capped it with prime agricultural soils.
Some of the other stuff in here, like the bus stop setback, is one of the more interesting little wrinkles within a fairly complicated ordinance.
Yeah, it was one of the more odd ones. I remember hearing about this last year. Some people were concerned. I'm just starting my farm. I'm going through the process. I'm trying to become legal, and there's a bus stop near my house, so I can't do anything about it. And at first, the school districts were they just didn't want to get involved at all. This is a county issue. We'd rather the county handle this. They considered waivers for people near bus stops, and now the school districts have shifted a little bit. They're still concerned that maybe having a cannabis business near a school bus stop would might have some impact on the children or exposure to children. Right now the ordinance is saying get rid of that bus stop setback. Essentially, the business has to be about 600 feet away from a school bus stop if they want to be legal. So.
Now, what are the other setbacks? I'm curious about this because I know that certainly on the Oregon side, lots of complaints about odor that gets across the fence when your neighbor is cultivating. And I wonder how far from property lines cultivation is supposed to take place under the Humboldt County ordinance as proposed.
That has been a significant issue, especially in our third largest city, Fortuna. And Fortuna is known as a friendly city, but they are not very friendly to marijuana. They've banned marijuana businesses outright and only reluctantly allowed people to have personal grows because it's required under state law. But what's happened under the current ordinance is that farms would be approved with what are called zoning clearance certificates, and they don't require a public hearing. And so neighbors suddenly realize they have a farm popping up next to their property, even though it is in the unincorporated area. It's still near the city lines. So people grew furious about that, and this ordinance is attempting to rectify that. by requiring any new farms within about 1,000 feet of a city or a certain community, such as Willow Creek, to obtain a special permit. And their neighbors would be notified when something was coming up and had a chance to appeal that. But right now, at least the city of Fortuna, they don't want that. They just want complete ban on new permits within their sphere of influence, a potential area where the city could expand, or within that thousand foot setback.
So they're trying to claim an area of influence larger than the city limits of Fortuna.
Yes, so that sphere of influence area, the potential area where they could expand, but also there's also a 1,000-foot setback as well. Just the county wanted to just make sure they have a blanket area where they could say, okay, any farms that come within this area, you have to get a special permit. So there's actually been some controversial rules within that, too. There's already been farms approved in that area, and the ordinance would have them actually apply retroactive rules to these already set up farms that are already paying taxes to the county. Essentially gives them a couple options. They move their farm about 600 feet away from a residence nearby, any neighboring residence that doesn't want cannabis near them. Sometimes the residences can give them permission to be a bit closer. They could also go through the permitting process again. They'd have to get a conditional use permit, which is much more extensive, requires a public hearing. And they also have the option of moving their outdoor cultivation into an enclosed structure, and that requires them to have odor control. And that require significant infrastructure costs, equipment. And then the last one is to relinquish the permit altogether. They have the opportunity to relocate if they'd like. But essentially, some of these farmers out there think this is ridiculous. They say, we've gone through the process, we've been legal, this is what the rules were before, and now we're being told we're not following them and we have to change.
Will Houston is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a reporter for the Times Standard in Eureka and the Californian as well. So obviously covers cannabis business a fair amount. We're talking about the consideration of a new ordinance in Humboldt County for adoption by the county supervisors. Next meeting coming up about the middle of April. And Will, for your own purposes, I mean, obviously you've been covering cannabis for a while now. I mean, even so, with all the wrinkles and details in this particular proposed ordinance, do you have to sit down and kind of draw little charts and graphs to figure out what's what and who regulates what and how?
Within the county, it's a bit easier. The Planning and Building Department is really the main department that handles cannabis issues. We also have our Agricultural Commissioner's Office out here. They mostly deal with track and trace and farm inspections. We have a Code Enforcement Office that will send letters out to farms or go inspect farms to ensure that they're complying. And if they are not complying or if they find an illegal farm, they send you a warning saying you're going to get about $10,000 a day fine. So it's pretty significant. They're actually thinking about reducing that, too. But, yeah, it's mostly within the county. That's it's a few departments that are handling it. The state one is a little bit – it's a bit of a different question there, but –
Is there a sense on anybody's part? I mean, it seems like I saw some of the comments that were coming out of that six-hour meeting recently and at other meetings as well, that there's so much growing going on, it seems way out of proportion to the potential consumption, at least within the county.
Yeah, that's been a major concern, and there's been a couple studies done on that. There's a couple of saying anywhere from 1.6 to 2.5 million pounds are consumed in California, and that the state's already consuming about or already producing about 14 million pounds. And some of the estimates I've seen have gone even higher than that. And North Coast region alone, by the state's reckoning, produces about 4.3 or a little bit more than 4 million pounds. So the concern there is that the price is going to be continuing to plummet, that people won't be able to pay off the cost of becoming legal, and then there's taxes on top of that as well. So the concern is that they're just going to see the prices go down and essentially our local industry go away while larger grows, which can maybe sustain, or larger companies that can maybe sustain these costs, will continue to flourish.
With this sort of a green gold rush at the moment, I mean, is the economy in Humboldt County humming along at the moment?
We have one of our lowest unemployment rates currently right now. Some might argue that the economy wasn't what it used to be back in the 70s, 80s with the timber industry and fishing industries out here. And many are reluctant to say that our economy relies heavily on the cannabis industry. But it has played a significant role in our region, bringing people in, black market money going into communities. Maybe some might say it's just been sustaining communities in more rural areas. I would say the Humboldt County economy, people are wondering if cannabis goes away, what else do we have at this point? The timber industry, the fishing industries have significantly reduced in the past few decades, and people are questioning what else can the county do to sustain itself.
I wonder, as the ordinance is set up regarding some of these newer ideas for businesses, if it's anticipating things or if somebody has actually asked, for example, if they could start a bud and breakfast. I mean, is this a concept that exists elsewhere and the Humboldt County Planning Department is just trying to accommodate it before it gets a request locally?
I'm not too sure about whether or not it exists somewhere else. It might maybe in Europe or something like that. But it's been brought up repeatedly by people in the industry saying it would be great to have a bud and breakfast stay. And it's not actually stated in the ordinance as a bud and breakfast. It's a cannabis farm stay, as they call it. But the bud and breakfast sounds much catchier.
It does.
I haven't actually heard of it myself or before this, I feel like it might be a good tourist draw. That's what people are hoping for, really, for Humboldt County. Some people are hoping Humboldt County will become the Napa County of the cannabis industry, and others are wondering now, since there's larger growth setting up in the Central Valley and there's now a statewide competitive market, whether or not that's actually going to be a reality. So the hope is that maybe Humboldt County's name and the quality of its product and its history would be a draw for tourism and to bring people up to our region.
So, Will, just a couple seconds left. When does the ordinance go before supervisors again, and will they adopt it at that date?
It's going to be April 10th. The board chairman, Ryan Sundberg, said he expects to pass it that day, and should be quite a long discussion on that. So if anyone's looking to figure out some more information, you can always visit the times-standard.com. I'll definitely be there.
All right. Will Houston, a reporter for the Times-Standard and the Californian. Thanks so much for joining us today to fill up our minds with information about cannabis in Humboldt County.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
All right. Take it easy.